Once again, it's on.
Back in a bit.
Roast podcast ever. Roast Patreon ever. Roast platform ever. It's Chad. It's Matt.
I'm Matt.
Chloe's here, chilling, super chilling.
Chloe's over us today. She
taking a nap.
Yeah, she don't give a fuck about what's going on.
It's a lot going on in the world right now, man. A lot of different topics, ranging from financial in nature, music.
You got me on the edge of my seat, man. I want to talk this BMF shit, then we can do some finance.
This BMF shit.
Talk to me now. What's happening?
So, Young Scooter, accomplished rapper from Atlanta,
right on,
invented and gave us the term the triple cross.
Okay,
which is. Somebody try to cross you out and you cross them, or if somebody doesn't actually know where the cross is coming from and there's somebody behind the scenes pulling the strings.
Right.
And it is now being alleged that Big Meech, Demetrius Flannery Sr., is actually the father of the triple cross.
Okay.
I said on this show when we first talked about, you know, the BMF show and this and this and this, and I hope they don't ruin this story because it's the greatest American crime story of all time, and this shit continues to bear fruit. Within the last week, it has come to the forefront, and people were whispering about this here and there. You had Tonia, who was Terry's, I guess his wife or whatever, Tonia, who's represented by Lala on the show and all of that. You have her talking about this woman, this like shadowy figure named Tammy Cowens.
Okay.
Tammy Cowens started off as Blue Da Vinci's girl.
Okay.
She was his quote unquote, she was my older chick. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I'd be out and I'm with these gangbangers and these drug dealers and this and this and this, and I wouldn't bring her around the mob. So, you know, I would go kick it with her later on in the night and decompress and this, that, and the third, and blah, blah, blah. Somehow, some way, over the years through his incarceration in 2005, Big Meech and Tammy Cowens became the best of friends.
This is after he was already...
After he was already off the board. So he didn't know her during the BMF run.
Okay. Because she was Blue Da Vinci's chick.
She was Blue Da Vinci's chick and she was hitting. She was off to the side or whatever. Mm-hmm. Somehow, some way, I guess through her seeing an opportunity through this story to be able to try to sell this story and monetize it, she and Big Meech became best friends. They started off as pen pals writing letters. She going to jail to see him when he was in Lompoc and this, that, and the third, whatever the case may be. And they formed this friendship. She later becomes his assistant or whatever, and also secured his power of attorney and his life rights to be able to negotiate a film around the BMF story. There's a gentleman from St. Louis named Dion Gatling. They call him Cuffy, who was one of Meech's oldest friends. They go back to 1990.
Okay.
He's from St. Louis, Missouri. In his own words, I listened to it earlier, in his own words, I'm the first person that ever put $1 million in Meech's hands.
Okay.
Because we was already our own version of the mob and all of this old shit, and we was tearing it up in St. Louis and blah, blah, blah. And me and Meech formed a friendship at a very young age, so much so that my children, my daughter and my son, call him uncle.
Okay.
That's how tight we are. Okay. To and through Meech's indictment and the overall BMF indictment, there were subsequent superseding indictments that later followed once, you know, niggas get grabbed up, niggas start snitching.
Right.
So the first snitch was Doc Marshall, who was the bookkeeper and the CFO of BMF. Mm-hmm. The second snitch was Jabari, I think his name is Collins or whatever, which Jeezy once famously referenced. Old Dog. Mm-hmm. You already know, dog. 745s back to back. Me and Old Dog. Mm-hmm. Jabari got jammed up with 27 kilos of cocaine, and he cooperated against BMF. And to and through those two acts, Doc Marshall's crib, somebody tried to do a home invasion on Doc Marshall's crib. He killed the nigga. Fucking police come. The feds come along with it because he was already a person of interest. They find this ledger, which started the paper trail of extrapolating what BMF was and who the players involved were.
Mm-hmm.
So those two things is what kind of set off the bomb of all of these, this legal action that got taken against them. Meech got arrested in 2005, pretty much immediately copped out, took 30 years, him and Terry, and in order to maintain their appeal rights and not get an L attached to their sentences right. or whatever. So they both got 30 years. Fast forward now, Terry's been home for 2 years, whatever the case may be. BMF, the TV show, was on his second season. Executive producer, 50 Cent. Tammy Collins negotiated the deal to sell the story and this. But going back to Cuffy Gatling, one of Big Meech's best friends. He, at the time when Meech was locked up, already had a script done, completed, for $250,000 to sell the BMF story. Meech put Tammy with Dion. They begin negotiating this deal, blah, blah, blah. A somewhat shadowy but known figure, Louis Burrell from Oakland, also known as Hammer's older brother, got involved in the negotiations. They negotiated a $50 million budget with Lionsgate to produce the BMF movie.
Okay.
20% of which was going to come to Dion and Lewis in the form of a finder's fee for the script origination and then passing it on to Lionsgate, and then they get a royalty, blah, blah, blah. But this was already done and ratified. Because Meech is the center of the BMF universe and his integral part, Tammy has his life rights and his power of attorney. She turns the shit down. Tammy then immediately begins to try to figure out a way to get Dion out of this deal and take all the money for her and Meech. So what happens is Tammy signs on to become a confidential informant for the DEA. The same original agent, I think the guy's name is Jack Harvey. If you watch the BMF documentary that Stars aired leading up to season two, older white guy, he's in the shit.
Okay.
She, her point of contact is him. That's a weird coincidence. How the fuck did that happen? How did you know to get in touch with him, blah, blah, blah? It could be to or through the paperwork, whatever, just her, Meech, corresponding, talking, da, 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 da. So she knows who the big dog was that unearthed this whole case. So immediately, she created a situation where she starts cooperating with the DEA. She becomes a confidential informant. They paid her $221,000. Her plan was to take down a cartel member. His name was Fidel Suarez, a cartel member from California. I'm going to flip on him, use my cooperation. And this is where the triple cross shit comes in at. Use my cooperation against him and the knowledge that I'm able to fetch through him, through my connection with Meech, to take Fidel off the board. Big Meech comes home. We negotiate this deal in real time. Meech got his money to get back on his feet. Boom, boom, boom. We live happily ever after. Because he's a Mexican, nobody in America suspects nothing. We suppress the paperwork. Meech's name isn't nowhere. My name's there. I don't give a fuck. Most times people, when they get banged by the DEA or the FBI, they automatically plea. Nobody's name goes in the paperwork. It's all an anonymous situation. People can speculate what happened, but nobody in and around BMF is disturbed. But we knock the plug off. That plan goes left because in the midst of her cooperating with the DEA, she gets a phone call from Dion, Cuffy Gatling, about the movie shit. Yo, what's going on? We trying to do so-and-so. She tells the DEA agent, hold on, this is Cuffy on the other line. They're like, Cuffy who? Cuffy Gatling from St. Louis. Their ears perk up, and then now Fidel Suarez is off the board. Fuck this nigga. We need to lock him up.
We want him.
We want him now. So Tammy Collins now begins initiating a deal for a truckload of kilograms, supposedly from the cartel through Meech or whatever, with her as his intermediary, and the DEA is roped in on this whole shit. Cuffy Gatling gets 26 years in prison. Big Meech is named as an unindicted co-conspirator in the case, even though he has phone correspondence with Dion over over 6 years. This happens in 2011. He has phone correspondence with Dion over the six-year period about this, that, and the third, da-da-da-da-da. Dion, in his own words, says, my lawyer reached out to Meech while he was locked up and said, yo, the DA is you know, contacting my attorney. They're trying to build a case on me, da-da-da-da-da, based on the circumstances of XYZ, which is, like, really all bullshit. It was proposed to me, but I didn't agree to it or whatever. But they bang him for conspiracy to commit cocaine trafficking based on the fact of this confidential informant, which was Tammy Collins, Big Meech's best friend, power attorney, whatever, whatever. Right. So now, over the last year or so, the story has slowly started to unfurl. But now, Blue Da Vinci, famously of BMF, the rapper, president of BMF Entertainment and all this whole shit, has basically put it all the way out there. Niggas got the paperwork. I got the paperwork, all this whole shit. And Dion is like, Big Meech lined me up with this girl or whatever, whatever, to keep his face clean, but he's the heart of it. He's a fucking rat. So now you have this whole thing unfolding where now Blue Da Vinci is like, yeah, I knew about this shit in 2017. The last time I talked to Meech was I told him that I heard about this situation with Cuffy and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then I spoke to Cuffy myself. He said, Big Meech haven't spoke to me since. So you got 6 years in the future now. Now all of this shit is unfolding. And it looks like the last hope of, like, the Black American crime story of somebody that stood up, stood tall, didn't tell, didn't do no funny shit, lined up this triple cross and got his best, one of his best friends, his oldest friends, 26 years in prison.
Jesus. So for what?
To get out of jail. They were going to the okay, so let's get deeper in this shit.
But I'm like, if Meech was already sentenced to 30.
The DA basically said, if you can help us take him off the board, you can come home. Mm. Tammy was going to be the intermediary to negotiate it and do it this, and this. The reason why Big Meech is not home is because Tammy's weird ass got romantically involved with another DEA agent, so they found her testimony not to be credible enough to rise to the level of suspending the remainder of Meech's sentence. So Meech's still gotta sit in jail, gets put in solitary as a result of this whole shit breaking down the way that it did, even though they got the conviction. But it's like, yo, you hooked us up with this weird-ass bitch. She fucked the DA agent. He's not credible. She's not credible. It basically made it to where they were worried that they weren't going to be able to prosecute this case. Put Meech in solitary. Put him on diesel therapy. He's been getting traveled all over the country ever since. Basically, essentially been in solitary for the better part of the last 10 years, and it's all tied to this shit. And now it's all starting to unfold in social media and in the media and all of this shit. Gully TV did a phone interview with Blue Da Vinci where he kind of like laid the shit out. A guy that used to work for Vibe and I think The Source did a phone interview with Dion Gatling, which came out yesterday, whatever the case may be. Dion Gatling's daughter had like a little short, you know, basically like, I guess a testimony, whatever, on the phone talking about the situation and how this all unfolded or whatever. And it's crazy. And there was a special agent, Keith Cromer from the DEA, testified that Meech knew at Cuffy's trial. He testified that Meech knew about it, but wanted to keep his name out of the paperwork. Was told the only way that would happen is if Cuffy copped out. Cuffy went to trial, which is why he ended up getting banged for 26 years instead of 10 or whatever the fuck they probably originally offered him at trial or whatever.
So is Cuffy out?
No.
So what was he doing the interview on?
It was a phone interview. He's calling from a correctional facility. And you hear doing this calls from a federal correctional facility, whatever, whatever. So yeah, he's locked the fuck up in the feds right now. And the whole everything is Meech lined me up to get locked the fuck up so he could free himself and to take me off the board so that they can negotiate this deal direct with whoever they wanted to take me out of it. Because he's saying, and this is the reason why BMF is not a movie, it's a series, because I had like the copyright whatever set around the script to where it would have went direct to film in theaters as opposed to a original series. So they couldn't do it as a movie, so they had to pivot and do it as a series because of the copyrights and all of that shit that was structured around it. It's a crazy-ass fucking story.
I was having a conversation, man, the other day, and it's just like, the angles that people are on in that world I don't envy it at all.
What'd they say? The oldest thing they tell you about the word of crime is there's no honor amongst thieves.
No, no.
It just is what it is. Like, there is no honor amongst thieves. This shit is crazy.
Damn.
Yes, man. So now it's suspected that the boss of all bosses is a fucking rat, man. This shit crazy. And Blue Da Vinci said that. He said, Meech won't speak to me, haven't talked to me since 2017 because I told him that I knew about this situation with Cuffy. And originally, my thought process was, what I couldn't make sense of was like, all right, if Meech wanted to cooperate, why wait until 2011? Like, why not just off the rip, just say fuck it and cooperate? And two, why not go big and tell him the cartel? Well, that got answered by the Fidel Suarez shit or whatever. So I was like, all right, so that's out. So that's my first rebuttal. That's out of there. Why tell down on someone you were serving? And another thing is, Blue said the original supervising agent put Tammy on payroll, Meech had to originate that. If that's the tie that binds and the plan was to free Meech and she goes and botches the deal, how does she still remain his power of attorney? Like, you would think that he would upend all of that shit and be like, bitch, I ain't fucking with you. You fucking this whole shit up. I'm still in jail.
Right.
You would think. But it's just like, yo, people motivations be whatever they be, man. And it's just like, yo, the more I kind of go down this rabbit hole, the more it's looking like, you know, Meech as this mythical creature, mythical figure, whatever, it's all bullshit.
I mean, you know how I feel about the mythical shit. You know what I mean? Like, that's a wild ass scenario. Like, damn. So are Meech and Terry cool?
No, they don't speak.
But I saw Terry with Lil Meech.
Yeah, I guess they call themselves trying to mend their relationship or whatever. Mm-hmm. Because you got to figure, the last time that, you know, Terry saw Little Meech, he was probably 4 years old or whatever. So it's like, whatever bad blood is carried through his father may not necessarily exist through him or whatever, because he wasn't a part of that shit.
So why don't Terry and Meech speak? Or why aren't they cool, right?
Because Terry allegedly stole $3 million from Meech, and then he also said on a recorder wiretap that Meech need to get knocked off. Nah. And the DA agents played that for Meech. As soon as they got arrested him, boom.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot.
Like, damn.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I'm just like, yo, what the fuck is going on here?
So does Meech have like a projected release date yet?
It's like 5 more years. He's got to do like 26 years or whatever the fuck before he's out parole eligible. But it's like with good time or whatever, whatever. I think his first date is 5 years from now.
Damn. So where's the Tammy chick at?
Out and about, living life. She's apparently a producer on the BMF show. And she's apparently a producer on the BMF show and all that, negotiated this deal, and whatever money is being made, she's holding those proceeds because I guess a criminal's not allowed to profit from their, you know, from their criminal gains or whatever. So with her as his power of attorney, that's the intermediary to negotiate it and to realize the funds. And I guess she'll hold the money till he come home or whatever, and then that's that.
That's a wild world, man. I don't envy that shit. I don't want that. Like, it just, I can't deal with that. Where you got to constantly worry about this person. That, like, you got to worry about everybody.
Yep.
Like, everybody's out to save their skin, cover their, like, yeah, like, damn. It's funny that you say this because it's a very interesting take on this whole snitching culture thing, because it's like, what if that, like, you would think something like that would hit, like, the big fan.
Yeah.
And then be all out amongst, like, everything.
So people are trying to suppress the shit because it's like, yo, we like Meech. Again, it goes back to who do we like. Blue Da Vinci did some weird, funny shit when he first got locked up. Keep in mind, like I said, it was all these superseding indictments. So Meech and Terry got arrested in 2005 with a good amount of people. A bunch of other people, J-Bo, Blue Da Vinci, this person, that person, all got locked up subsequently in like 2006 or whatever the case may be.
Right.
So Blue did what's called a safety valve in a debriefing. He had a safety valve on his case, meaning like if he fucking, I guess, allocutes to whatever the fuck he did or corroborates or confirms other stories, da-da-da-da-da, that could cut his time from basically 10 years down to 5 years. Out of the 5 years, I think he ended up doing 3.5, some shit like that. But when he came to the debriefing with the feds, essentially everybody else had told so much, it wasn't nothing for him to tell.
Yes.
And his lawyer said in open court, yeah, my client would have cooperated, but there was no information to provide the federal government. In fact, they told him things that he didn't even know because all of these people on Terry's side, because the crew was split down the middle. Right. It was BMF and 263. 263 right. was Terry's crew. They all was telling so much shit that he was like, yo, it's nothing for me to tell. They told you shit I didn't even fucking know.
Right.
So it was just like, yeah, but at that point, they had already made the agreement. They had to honor the deal to give him the 5 years or whatever the fuck.
Damn.
So it's like, it's a wild set of circumstances, man. And it's like, all I can say is go to school, kids.
Yo,
like, get an education, start you a motherfucking business or whatever. All of these niggas tell one way or another. Directly, indirectly, through an intermediary, anonymous phone calls, whatever the fuck. Because who the fuck want to go to jail?
For 30 fucking years.
For 30 fucking years. Nobody.
Yeah. God damn. And what did you see all this on?
YouTube. The tube.
The tube?
And all of this shit unfolded on the tube,
on
dog.
On the tube. Like,
and it's like this shit coming in hot. It's like every couple hours, it's another video. It's another this, another that, whatever, whatever. And it's like, yo, the initial joint was King Erner did a video about this shit a year ago. And he was just like, yo, you know, Big Meech honor is not in question, blah, blah, blah. You know, Cuffy Gatling is, you know, was bitter about, you know, what happened and this and this. There's very well a large chance that, you know, Tammy Collins did all of this without Meech knowing and blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, yo, the more the details unfold, the more it's like, damn, this video was aging like milk.
Yeah.
Like, this joint is bad. And it's just like, yo, I talked to one of my homies about it last night. And I was like, yo, at the end of the day, last night and today, and I was like, yo, at the end of the day, you know, you can't vouch for nobody because you don't know what the fuck these people got going on.
Nope.
And it's like, you'll put your fucking shit on the line, you know, put your shit on the line against, you know, what these motherfuckers is doing. And it's like, then they just make you look crazy every fucking time.
Straight up.
It's like, I denounce crime.
Yo, straight up, man.
This shit is crazy. So it's like, yo, if you know, if the boss of all bosses is a fucking snake too and a rat, it's like.
I mean, look at the Gotti shit. Like, Gotti wasn't a rat and he didn't fuck with the Longhorns, but he was trying to get Sammy to take all that
take
shit.
Take the whole shit. Yeah, no, you're going to take all these Jones. I'm going to go home and eat steaks. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's an unscrupulous way of living. And it is really every man for himself when the feds come knocking.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to fuck with no feds. Like, just because people get goofy. People
yeah, when them guys in windbreakers start knocking on your motherfucking door, that shit.
Backwards hats. Yeah, you don't want none of that.
Fucking Oakley shades.
Yeah, you see a backwards hat, a windbreaker, and jeans. I don't want none of that. Like,
it's a bad joint to be in,
it's
man.
It's a bad joint, for real. What was up with the finance shit?
Oh, so the finance shit, right? So, boom. Silicon Valley Bank failed in 48 hours. It is the second largest bank failure in the history of the United States. So
the second largest?
Second largest.
What was number one?
I don't know yet.
I feel like I know this. I should know this. Go ahead.
So, this is from the New York Times. A bid to reassure investors goes awry. The failure of Silicon Valley Bank was caused by a run on the bank. Essentially, what a run on the bank means is that something happens, right? Like some banking issue happens. In this case, it was all triggered by the interest rate jump.
Mm-hmm.
So you have people all in Silicon Valley that are banking with this bank, putting, you know, $50 million in, $20 million in, $10 million, whatever the fuck the case may be.
Washington
right?
Mutual. Washington. I'm like, I know I should know this. Yeah.
So you got people putting all of this money into the bank, right? And the bank doesn't hold that money in cash reserves. They trade it in for treasury notes from the United States government and bonds. And essentially what happened is where they bought the treasury bonds at, the interest rate was zero versus now the interest rate is 5%. So once the interest rate shit started happening and like these little reports started like, you know, started trickling out around Silicon Valley, like, yo, the bank might not be that solvent, whatever, whatever. Essentially, everybody asked for their money back. And when that happened, it triggered a failure because we already sold this money off. We don't have the cash reserves to give everybody their bread back.
Same shit happened with the crypto shit. Yep. Yeah.
And essentially, I think it's $250 billion is the number.
Right now, it says at $219
billion. Yeah. So it's like if the bank, here's the fucked up part. If the bank doesn't have $250 billion under management, the government doesn't have to ensure that they're going to take every step necessary to get your bread back. It's like, we'll get you back what we can, but some of this shit like might just be breakage. Like, it might just be out because now the bank is under government control. So this is the rest of the opening of the journal. The company was not at least until clients started rushing for the exits insolvent or even close to insolvent. So they're maintaining their regular day-to-day numbers that they need to maintain in order to be a financially solvent bank. They were good. But banking is an enterprise that relies on as much as confidence as cash, and if that runs out, the game is over. The collapse may have been an unforced self-inflicted error. The bank's management chose to sell $21 billion of bonds at a $1.8 billion loss. So that's what started all of this. So once, you know, Google and this person's like, wait, why the fuck would these motherfuckers sell $21 billion for $19.2 billion? Like, let me go talk to these motherfuckers.
Basically trying to get money back on a quick.
Exactly. Yeah. On the quick. In large part, it appears because many of those bonds were yielding at an average of only 1.79% at a time when interest rates had risen drastically and the bank was starting to look like an underperformer relative to its peers. So now motherfuckers like, let me get my bread and go take it over here. They going to go get me 2.8%, right, whatever right. The fuck, and it fucked the bank because everybody did it at the same time. Had risen drastically. Moody's was considering downgrading its rating. The bank's management, with the help of Goldman Sachs, its advisor, chose to raise new equity from the venture capital firm General Atlantic and also to sell a convertible bond to the public. It isn't clear if the bond sale or the fundraising, at least initially, had been made under duress. It was meant to reinsure investors, but it had the opposite effect. It so surprised the market that it led the bank's very smart client base of venture capitalists to direct their portfolio clients to withdraw their deposits en masse. The bank and its advisors may have also made a tactical mistake. The General Atlantic equity investment could have been completed overnight, but the bank's management also chose to sell convertible preferred stock, which couldn't be sold until the next day. That left time for investors and, more important, clients to start scratching their heads and sow doubt about the firm, leading to an exodus of deposits. There will be a detailed postmortem of the bank's failure in the coming weeks and months. For now, it looks like the collapse could have been avoided. It happened because management bungled how it communicated to its customers and the public and created a vacuum of confidence. But underlying the failure was a demonstrable problem, one to keep an eye on for other banks. The company had invested its deposits in low interest rate bonds that held on its books on a long-term hold-to-maturity basis. That means that it did not have to mark-to-market those bonds until they were sold, leaving investors with a somewhat distorted view of its balance sheet. So long as the bank doesn't need to sell hold-to-maturity assets to meet withdrawal requests, there is no problem. But if a bank has to sell at a loss, that's when things get complicated.
Right.
So soon as they started selling these, so make this big-ass play to sell off $21 billion for $19.2, niggas was like, the fuck?
Right.
What's going on here? And then all of the advisors is like, yo, take your bread out. Today. Now. Right now. Bank failure. Collapse. 48 hours, the bank fucking fell.
Damn. So when that happens, what's the immediate, the middle, and then the long-term result?
Well, the bank is now under government control. So now they got to take accounting of, you know, everything that's in inventory or whatever.
It's funny that you say this. We're talking about this. Are you familiar with Adam Ruins Everything?
Yes.
Have you seen his new series he got on Netflix? It's called The G Word.
No.
It's really good. But it's called The G Word, and it's about the government. So he's basically doing, like, a no-filtered Adam Ruins Everything because he's, like, cursing and everything. And he's going to, like, it starts off with him and Obama. And he's got, like, so basically he goes into all the areas that the government controls: food, money, weather, all these different things. But the money episode, he was basically talking about bank failures on there. And he was saying how when the government takes over a bank, they'll come in at the close of day on Friday and let the people know this bank is under government control. We're taking it over. You'll stay employed here, but the bank will be under a new name and it'll open Monday like nothing happened.
Yeah.
We don't need to alert this. But literally he was showing how, like, bank takeovers happen and shit when the government. It's good. It's a good ass documentary.
I definitely want to check that
out.
But
he got a joint on food and how the USDA came about with Teddy Roosevelt. Yeah. Then he got a joint on the weather and how he even was saying it, like, they literally are, they predict weather. Like, back in the day, it was like predicting weather. Now, they have planes that can fly through hurricanes above them.
Oh, damn.
To where they can tell you which way this shit is going and this and the third. And how the data that goes into, like, our iPhones and shit from weather, it's free. Like, the government does it and gives it to the weather agencies. But literally, weather agencies block that shit for weather that's sold. Like, you got apps where, like, you can pay for subscriptions to get this and that. And he was showing how a tornado was found to be forming in Indiana, but the advisory only went out to people who were paying for the app. I'm just like, dog.
This is crazy.
This is nuts. Like, what? Like, yeah, it's called The G Word. It's a real good docuseries. Yeah, but he definitely got a joint on banking. And he was even talking about, they were talking about the PPP loans on there. And he went and interviewed a woman who owned a daycare. And it was showing how people who didn't necessarily know how to go about a PPP loan or a PUA loan or whatever during the pandemic, they weren't hip to it or weren't getting certain things. And he was even saying that, like, when production shut down for his show, for Adam Ruins Everything, he's like, we got a PPP loan for the show.
Yeah.
But we're, you know, we're with, what network is he with? Not Comedy Central. Whatever channel he's with.
Yeah, yeah.
We have the network and our attorneys who went about going to get that. So we wound up getting more than enough money to, like, sustain everything.
Yeah.
And he was like, this situation here was a daycare. She said that at one point they had 55 kids in a daycare. And she was like, when they went to apply for their PPP loan, they got $6,000.
Oh, damn.
And she's like, that wasn't even enough to cover a month,
yeah,
you know, whatever. And they wound up, she's like, when the pandemic finally got back to where people could, she's like, out of the 55 kids we had, only four were able to return.
Damn.
So they essentially had to close. And she was like crying because they foreclosed, like, the location, like, yeah, the bank got it now and had, like, padlocks on. It's crazy as fuck. And he was, like, saying it, where it's like, the way it works in this country is, the more you have, the more you can get, and the more you have access to.
Yeah.
And he was like, it's kind of made me feel fucked up, where it's just like, the PPP, like, we're all, like, rich, and we good, like,
yeah,
and it's just, like, seeing shit like this, it kind of blows your mind, and it just, the finance drone, the money drone was real, real good.
Yeah.
And it's just like, damn, like, you really, like, even look at the Madoff situation, like, it's crazy to think, but, like, it's people that lost everything, but on the flip side, it's people that actually made money.
Yep.
Out of that shit. It just, that, it make you think of, like, your grandfather and your old uncles that kept all their money in a shoebox in the house.
Yeah, it's like, shit. Because
they didn't trust banks.
This is why.
Like, you just really, how many times have you, like, hauled off and just looked at your account and you, like, there's $300 missing, I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
I don't know where it's at,
yeah,
but it's missing. And then you call and it's like, oh, this happened, or this, oh, we could release that, or we could do this, or we could, and it just be like, what? Because you really never know with these fucking banks.
Yep.
Like, I had somebody was like, you're overly obsessed with your credit cards and your accounts, and be like, no, I check them shits every morning when I wake up, because I don't know what y'all are going to do overnight.
Yeah.
Last thing I want to do is give y'all 4 or 5 days and I'm over here getting high and doing whatever and not thinking about it. Then I go look and just like, You ever have to do that, Joan, after a weekend or a couple days of wilding out, and you got to like put it together? You like, there's no way I spent $3,200. And you're like, all right, I know I bought some shrimp. That was 38. You know, like you got to go through the whole joint of like, and man, I know there'd be money missing if we don't be fucking catching.
Hell yeah.
Catch it. I'm telling you.
Yeah, Navy Federal do this shit where it's like, you know, when you make deposits or whatever, even if it's the money's not readily available, it'll get like, if you click on the transaction, it'll give you like a running balance.
Right.
That running balance should be like, all right, so it's like, so it's saying 3,000, but I really got 14,000. And it's like, well, when are y'all going to release this money? And it doesn't tell you. It just tells you, oh, yeah, your running balance is against this, whatever, whatever. And I just had a situation. I deposited a check or whatever for like $8,600. And they put a five-day hold on the shit. I went to a Navy Federal location. The bank was too popping, so I deposited in the ATM at Navy Federal before 4 p.m., right on the drone to tell you.
Why don't you do it on your phone?
Because I was just on some shit like, let me just go here.
Oh, I deposited a big check last week. Literally, I did it on my phone. That shit was open in 2 days.
Right. So it's like,
and you know, Navy Fed, you can do a check up to 50 on your phone.
Yeah. And typically that's what I would do. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, I got this check. I was downtown. I said, let me go to Cherry Hill and deposit the check in the bank. Going in the bank caused them to hold a check for 5 business days, which ended up taking like 9 real days because it was a Friday. Even though I deposited before 4 o'clock, which they tell you, deposits after 4 o'clock may be credited next business day, they still credited the next business day.
Which was Monday.
And then I had that whole week, and then they didn't clear it until after business the following Monday, which was February 27th. And I'm just like, what? They're like, yeah, it's for your protection. No, it's not. I'm not protected if you holding my money. I don't feel very protected.
I don't feel protected.
Yeah, you holding my fucking 9 grand for an extra week because you said so. Like, I don't
feel all too protected.
I'm not happy either. Yeah. Then they send me an email like, hey, one of your checks was held because of this, that, and the third. Keep in mind, this is from somebody that sent me a wire transfer before. This is like a business wrote me a check, not like a nigga on the street, Ted from...
Yeah.
Gambling debts. Like the nigga that was writing Michael Jordan writing him checks and shit. Like, no, it wasn't that. Like, this is like a real deal business. They got multi-millions. This is a trading company. They got multi-millions in their fucking account. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, yo, y'all held all that fucking money. Then they sent me an email like, yeah, if you incurred any overdraft fees during this time or whatever, whatever, we can refund them to you. And it's like, why not just release the money?
Right.
Why not get on the phone? A bank verification is very simple. Bank, get on the phone, call the other bank. Hey, I'm here presented here with a check from such and such bank. This is the account and routing number, da 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 da. There is for this amount of money. Can you verify that the funds are there? How much is the check? 8,600? Oh, yeah. No, you're good. Okay, cool. They can immediately. Yeah. Takes 3 minutes. And unless you ask for that, they're never going to do it.
Yeah. Should be crazy with these banks, man. I remember right before Thanksgiving, I had money in my police and fire. I had like no cash shit in my check in the Navy Federal. And I had 2 loan payments, like car loan and another loan. And I forgot about the shit. Like I just physically just forgot about the shit. And I was just like, oh damn, it's the day before Thanksgiving. I'm like, it's the 23rd. Them Jones doing the 21st. I'm like, oh shit. So let me go. So I went and I wound up having an Aflac check. So I was like, oh cool. When I don't even got to take money out. I get the Aflac check and just put it in there. My dumb ass, I called and was like, hey, because the transfer between banks, like to send money from police and fire to Navy Federal
takes like three days.
So I was like, because I didn't feel like driving the fuck to police fire just to drive the Navy Federal. I was like, yo, I got a check that I'm going mobile deposit. Can I do a payment arrangement for like, I guess like 2 days or whatever to when this clears, that way it'll just take it out. She was like, oh yeah, that's fine, because you won't even incur no late fees. You got like 10 days or whatever. I was like, okay, cool. So I made the payment arrangement. Mind you, both the loans together is $1,200.
Yeah.
The check I had from Aflac was like $4,000.
Yeah.
So I put the shit in the account, whatever. I put it in there. It showed, you know, I released like $225 and other shit is pending or whatever, whatever. So I'm like, okay, cool. I come back to my account. It was like the check, it was like literally the next day, the check was cleared. Mm-hmm. This is, mind you, this is the day before Thanksgiving. The check had cleared. The check was for $4,000. Mind you, the 2 payments together is $1,200.
Yeah.
So when I went to look at my account, that shit was like available balance $1,178. And I was just like,
huh?
What the fuck? So then I went and looked at like the rolling joint, and it was like loan payment 637, loan payment 637. Then it was like loan payment 590, loan payment 590.
So because you went past the original date, it swept the loan twice.
Right. But then it was like loan payment 379, loan payment 262. And I was just like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
So I called Navy Federal and I'm like, yeah, I deposited $4,000. And I'm looking at it. It took like $2,900 from the $4,000 to apply to loans. But I'm not understanding. I'm not behind on the loans. And yeah. She was like, oh, well, yeah, because you made a payment arrangement. So whenever you make a payment arrangement, it'll take that as its own payment, not on the track of what your payments are. So basically when the money was available, it took the necessary payment.
Yeah.
But then it
took an additional payment.
Basically, like, I on my own just made an arrangement to pay another. So basically, it was like, you're not due anything till January now because you've paid December. And I'm like, well, what the fuck is the 262 and the 379? She was like, well, those are a little bit to go to January. Because if you looked at my joint, it said next payment due January. It didn't say a full 637. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It said like 312. And
I didn't request this.
And I'm like, yo, give me back my phone.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, it was because it was like 2 p.m. the day before today. She was like, well, everyone's gone from the business solution department, whatever. So you can call them back on Monday. And because it was Thanksgiving, Good Friday, nobody was there. Yeah. And then finally I called them Monday and they was just like, yeah, that was a complete, I don't know. Like, lady was like, I've been here 12 years. I've never seen that shit happen.
He took 2.5 payments out of each one.
But they released the bread, but it was just like, and I'm just like, what if like Black Friday, I was going out in the street to fight over Omarion television? You know what I'm saying?
Can't
like,
even do it. I'm assed out.
What the fuck? So they released the money. It was no problem. But it was just like, yeah, banks kind of just like, it's computers and they just do what the fuck they want.
Because at the heart of it, what's going on is all of the computers and all of that are set up to maximize the amount of money in and minimize how much goes out. So with that in mind, it's just like, oh, yeah, we're going to arbitrarily put a 4-day hold on this check, a 5-day hold on this one, 3 days on this one. This one, you know, you upload on the app. Oh, next day, whatever. Like, it's like they literally pick and choose at random how much they want to fucking allow you to have of your money that you're placing in their institution.
Yeah, I get that we got to have banks. We got to fuck with it and send it through. But there do be some Jones where it just be like, even down to the whole, you can't take more than certain amount cash if you wanted to. It's just like,
yeah, anything like a Navy Federal, anything over like $5,000-$6,000, you got to call in advance.
You got to call them.
They used to tell me that shit at Horsham all the time. I shop like, y'all need $8,000. They like, the fuck? Did you call? No. What's the problem?
I went into police and fire one day and I forgot how much I was withdrawing. I want to say it was like 17 because I was doing something. But I went to withdraw like 17, and the lady, she dead ass was like, is everything okay?
Yeah, like, are you being, like, are you kidnapped?
Like, is your wife, like, held? I was just like, no, I'm a degenerate, bitch. I need this. I need
big this, gambler.
Big bet. I need the 17. You got to hurry up now. Like, you know what I'm saying? But no, she dead ass, like, as she was processing everything, she like, is everything okay? And I'm just like, yeah, I'm fine or whatever. And she straight told me, was like, we need 3 hours. You know what I'm saying?
Like, all right, I'll be back.
It was like 1 p.m. She's like, you can come back at the end of the business day. I was just like, all right, whatever. Because you'd be surprised. Like, a lot of banks really got to, like, and once you get over a certain amount, it's like, whoa. Because what happens if another person comes in and wants 17, another person wants 45, and another person. Yep. Now it's like, shit, we didn't even have that much cash on deck to even be ready to move. You know what I mean? So like, yeah, the banking situation is crazy. And then you got to factor in that at the end of the day, they're loaning your money out.
Every day.
I saw a video where a guy went into a bank. He was closing his account because he had applied for something.
Was it in Canada or somewhere else? It was like an older guy?
Yeah, I forgot where it was at.
Like $330,000 or something?
$312,000. Yeah. But he had applied for a loan and got denied for it. And he was just like, I'm sick of this bank. They're so just like ridiculous. He's like, I don't go through this with no other banking institution I deal with. He's like, I get approved for shit all the time. And he's like, I'm just done with this bank.
Yeah.
And they called the cops on him.
Yeah, that was an older guy in Canada.
They straight called the law.
They was like, what seems to be the problem? And he said, that's no problem. Want my fucking money?
No problem. I'm closing my account, taking my money out to John. They straight called the cop. Come get this nigga, man.
He is not well.
Nah, something is wrong with him. You imagine you like, yeah, this is my account number, this is my name, here go my ID. I'm closing my account, wanna take all my money out. Hitting the button.
John. Give us 1 second, Mr. Thomas.
Yeah, yeah. Stay right there.
Actually, you can have a seat right over here. Yeah. We're gonna get that all together for you.
Shit crazy.
Yeah, it's like having to fucking barter with a bank to get your money back is insane. But it's like it's all because of like run rate and reserve amounts and all of that shit. And you know, your money is in a bond, nigga. You can't have your money.
No. We actually gave that away, so we're waiting on a couple
of interest. We turn into profit on your bread. You know what I'm saying?
We waiting on some interest to come back, baby. You tripping with that one. But it's like, yeah, that's what you got to do. Like I say it all the time, these people who are like these extreme millionaires, but they don't, it's not liquid money. It's not like Jadakiss said, Johnny Tapia without the rats. Like, no, it's not a room with a bunch of millions of dollars sitting in the shit. That's Pablo Escobar and that's it. Like, it just doesn't work like that. This money is legitimately tied into so many things that it's like, it's hard to get that hard capital like that. Hard. You know, till you actually experience that shit, you don't really understand, you know, what that shit is like. Like, yeah. I remember years ago when we sold the property. And I remember, you know, getting the check. And I was a nigga. I was just like, yeah, I'm going to take this bread over to somewhere else, like over another bank. And I was just like, yeah, you know, can I get it in hundreds? And lady looked at me like I was insane. Yeah. This is like 106 grand. She was like, you what? And I'm like, yeah, like I'm putting it in another bank. And she was just like, you know, you could just transfer it to another bank. I'm like, oh, what? Oh,
what? do you have any $500 bills?
Yo.
I'll take those.
Yeah, I got a little satchel. You know what I'm saying? So I'm good. Like, regardless. Like,
yeah, I remember one time we was trying to do a real estate deal a couple years ago. And me and my partner, Ty, whatever, at the time, I had put he was running everything through his LLC because he was already bonded and all that shit. So I had gave him, like, $23,000. I gave him a cashier's check, deposit account, whatever, whatever. So after, like, 65 days of just, like, offer after offer after offer getting turned down, we kept losing all these houses in Winfield or whatever. And I was just like, yo, I don't need nobody to watch my money. Just give me the money back. You know what I'm saying? Just give me the money, whatever, whatever. So I meet him at the bank. He gets a cashier's check. We at TD Bank on City Line Avenue. Give me the check, whatever, whatever. He's like, all right, boom, here you go, bro. Da da da. I gotta go.
Fridays?
Yes.
I hate that fucking bank.
All right, bro, I gotta go. Da 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 da. You know, here's your check. Boom, it's good to go. It's good for cash. I walk my ass right back up to the same teller. Yeah, I like to cash this right now. $23,000. They gave me a little private room, yeah, all kind of shit. I'm in there counting my money. Like, all right, it's all there. I'm out of here.
Yeah, that's how that should be. That finance world is nuts, man. Like,
because there's so much fucking red tape.
Yeah, it's funny because he had a joint on Adam the Conover on the G joint. He did a joint on FEMA, and he was talking about the what's the B word? Bureaucracy. Say it again.
Bureaucracies.
There you go. And he was talking about red tape and how much red tape fucks up so many things in this country. And they were showing how when the Puerto Rico hurricane hit, it wasn't the hurricane that killed people. It was the fact that they weren't getting food and water.
Yeah.
Because of the FEMA nonsense. Mm-hmm. And he was showing how FEMA has so much red tape in the way of everything to where they literally was like making a sketch. And the guy was like, hello, FEMA officers. And the guy was like, he's like, oh, hurricane hit you and you're drowning. Okay. We need you to fill out a flood. like, it's like all this crazy shit. And it's just like,
I need help. Send help, nigga.
And he was saying it on there. Red tape is the name of the game for the government. Mm-hmm. Everything just has stupid red tape for absolutely no reason. That's like the theme of the whole show. And it's just like, yeah, like, I don't get it. If someone is giving me money, like giving me 50K, why is it that I can't take this 50K and get my 50K?
Yeah.
Why do we have to go through all of this nonsense? Yeah. Perfect example. You ever pay for something on your debit card? You buy something that's $120. You buy a sweater, it's $125. If your account is at $700, when you swipe that card, your account is at $575. But if you return that sweater 5 minutes later, that account will not say $700 until Thursday.
Nope.
That shit is crazy.
I think it's like one retailer that, and here's the thing, that's all a processing thing. And it's like they could pay to have that or whatever, but they don't want, as mm-hmm. they make the business decision that, you know, businesses want in between the margins. So instead of paying, you know, 1.7% to our credit card processor. We'd rather pay 1.2, so we don't even have the option to give instantaneous refunds because we get to capture that 0.5% of revenue.
Right.
Exactly. That's all it is.
That's really it. Yo, hey, tell you how crazy this shit is. You know, Visa has an exclusive deal with Costco now.
Really?
So you can't use no other card than a Visa card at Costco. We at Costco, I'm not talking about two big ass carts. We get up there, I put my platinum in. That shit was like card decline. I'm like, let me wipe it off real quick. And I know it's something over here. I put it in again, card decline. I'm like, what the fuck? All right, I put it back in my pocket. I pull my Navy Fed. I'm not even thinking about it, yeah. Like, because I'm just on something like, all right, I know I went a little hard in Miami. All right, let me, I'm going to use my Navy Fed. I know some money on this show. I put that shit in. That's some more rewards to Amex.
Yeah.
And card to come. I'm just like, so I'm like, yo, are my cards, like, off? I was like, yeah. What the fuck? So Lee was like, oh, I got it. And I'm just like, I felt like an idiot. I'm like, no, what the fuck you mean? I ain't. So she put her fucking Amex in. Nah. The girl came over, was like, are y'all using American Express? We like, yeah. She's like, oh, you know, it's only Visa. And I'm just like, wait, what? And then you see the sign up, cards accepted for payment. Visa, Costco card, da-da-da. And I'm just like, do you have a Visa? She was like, I don't. And I'm just like, yeah, I left my cash rewards and my debit card to crib. I'm like, damn, we can't buy this shit. We had to leave that shit there.
Damn.
And then I realized, I came home and I looked it up. Costco signed an exclusive deal with Visa as their processor to where now in all Costco's in America, you can only use Visa card. You can't use a MasterCard or an Amex.
That's insane.
I was like, what the fuck? Like, what? But they said the deal was so lucrative for them that they had to take it.
Yeah, margins.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it's about. It's like, all right, so y'all gonna charge us how much? It's like, we got our own payment processing. You use direct, you know, Visa point of sale technology, da 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 da, and we'll only charge you 0.3% or whatever instead. What are you paying now? 1.8? Oh, yeah, 0.3. And it's just like, oh, yeah, fuck it. Like, I'm gonna inconvenience half my buyer base, but, you know, whatever. Because the reality is like, nobody's walking into Costco with 800 and, you know what I'm saying, and hundreds or 50s and paying for this shit. Majority of people are smart, you know, informed consumers, and they know, like, yo, I'm going to use my credit card, get these motherfucking points.
Costco signed an exclusive partnership deal with all Visa processing cards. It pays a transactional fee of only 0.4%, where the national average of paid fees is 1.8%.
Margins.
So basically, off of every transaction, instead of them having to pay almost 2%, now they only pay 0.4.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 1.4%. Which, and you're hearing that, is just like, what? But it's like, what if y'all revenue is $550 million for the year?
Exactly.
So let me go look at that now. Costco yearly revenue. What did I say?
550.
I was clearly wrong. So you take a guess at what Costco's yearly revenue is.
Probably billions.
Nigga.
1.8 billion.
$234 billion in revenue.
What?
Costco revenue for the 12 months in the fiscal year ending February 28, 2023 was the highest it's ever been, with an 11% jump from last year, $234.3 billion in a revenue for the fiscal year of 2022 to 23. So if you're making an additional 1.4% of $234 billion, that's why the fuck you can only use Visa in this joint. Because we all got big yachts. Dog.
That shit is crazy.
This finance shit is nuts. That's just in processing fees of paying.
Yeah.
Fuck the food we selling in this junk.
Yeah. That's one retailer.
So let's do this now.
Fuck.
234.3 times 1.4. They made an additional $328 million in processing fees by switching to Visa last year.
Yeah, everybody got bonuses.
No. The decimal got to move. $3.2 billion. The decimal got to move over.
Mm.
Yeah, $3.2 billion. $3 billion they made in processing fees.
Yeah, that go right to the bottom line.
Think about it. 1% of $100 billion is a billion.
Yeah.
So if you at 234, you got 1.4% of $234 billion? Yeah, $3.2 billion.
That's sick.
$3.2 billion just in by, processing fees. Just by changing fees.
Credit card.
Just process. By saying, yeah, no, Amex, all that shit is out because Visa gave us a sweet deal. Where everybody else is saying 1.8% for processing, Visa said, if y'all do only our shit, 0.4%. See how fast we get this abundance shit?
Yep.
Crazy. That, and that right there is why I look at a lot of like just our life is just like, God damn. Because we out here going crazy over a bust down Cartier. We out here robbing each other over a fucking a $7,000 Santos. These motherfuckers have figured out a way to make $3 billion additional dollars a year and not do jack shit.
Don't different. Change their business model. Nothing. Ain't got to do nothing.
The eggs ain't no fresher. The rotisserie chickens ain't rotisserin no more than they what they fuck they normally. They made an extra $3 billion just off of processing fees.
Yeah, and they probably looked at the books. They say, yo, we are 65% of our customers are already using Visa. The rest of them got to figure it the fuck out.
And you know what the craziest part is? You know what really happened that day? We came back home.
With a Visa.
Got our Visa and went the fuck back.
God, hold this right here. Watch this for me. Hold me down.
You all getting they flag you in your car right here, baby.
Yeah, because you can't turn these deals down. So you back with the Visa.
Where the fuck else am I get 18 K3 ads for $6? Where the fuck else?
I'll be that? Right back.
Crazy. Crazy.
I'll be right back. Hold it down. I got
where the fuck you going? Hold it down. This is some crazy shit that I'm looking at right here. $234 billion in revenue in 2022 to 23, 11% increase, $195 billion from last year's fiscal. That was a 17% increase from 2020. Costco is really making $230 billion a goddamn year. They have a partnership, an agreement with Visa for their memberships, their payments, and for their gas. So you can't even use Amex and MasterCard at the Costco gas stations. Like when you come out the joint. Some retailers charge up to 3% for processing. This is un-goddamn believable. Yo. Relax. Chloe and her wallet, y'all. Hold on. Her fucking toy got stuck under the mic. Me personally, I fuck with Costco more than I fuck with like BJ's. I don't really care for BJ's. Sam's Club be having that shit, but Costco is my go-to at this point. You fuck with Sam's Club or BJ's or any of that shit?
I haven't.
You see, we like buying, that's why we be having so much shit, because we buy everything in bulk. Like, yeah. We go shopping like once a fucking month and just buy.
Shit forever.
Yeah, just have a bunch of shit.
Gave me some toilet paper a couple weeks ago.
We got great. $50. You want some of this shit before you leave?
I'm about to take some of this shit to Dan.
Everybody leave out of yo. You want some toilet paper? We got. Shit be crazy. You got anything else for this one?
Yeah, for sure. I had a topic that I kind of like went down a rabbit hole a little bit on, which is why is everyone selling their music catalog?
Okay.
It came up again this week because Metro Boomin just did a deal to sell part of his music catalog for $70 million.
Okay.
So it became a thing again. All of the nigger blogs is posting it and, oh, this is a bad deal. You know, the typical shit that people do whenever these deals happen. So my homie Bub hit me the other day on Twitter and was like, yo, why is this happening? And I'm like, yo, the succinct answer is it's a bubble play, meaning the overall value of copywritten music is falling fast because of TV and movie streaming. Think about it like this. Think about what you've seen and heard the last 5 years versus the prior 20. There is far more previously published and name recognizable songs attached to TV, film, and commercials than ever in history.
Mm-hmm.
That's because the sync rates have fallen dramatically, and now all the publishers have to compete with aggressive publishers like Shamrock, BlackRock, which, again, here's BlackRock again,
right.
Influence Media, Hypnosis, which is backed by Blackstone, and Primary Wave, which is also backed by BlackRock. All of these companies are licensing shit out like crazy to recoup these large payouts that they've given these artists in order to turn a profit. So look at it like this. Pre-2017, 2018, you almost never heard copywritten music on TV shows because the cost of license would typically dwarf the show budget. So mm-hmm. it's like, yo, if I'm producing an episode of Love & Hip Hop and Stevie J getting 10 grand, Jocelyn getting 7,500, this person getting this, it might cost me $100,000 once I pay production and all that to produce an episode of Love & Hip Hop. To put a Jay-Z song on this shit might cost me $150,000. So it's like once people start selling their catalogs or whatever, it drops the over the market has to
yeah because come now it's, down. It's one of those not it's not quantity, it's quality.
Exactly.
So it's not how much we can get for one time, it's how many times can we get this shit for this little bit of money.
Bingo. Yeah. And now because of on-demand platforms, streaming platforms and all of that shit, now we can lessen the rate that it costs you to put it on here because it's going to play so much more over more, time more, 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 because people are going to go back and watch this episode on their own shit, time.
Just the expansion of television becoming 24/7. You remember when TV used to go off?
Yep.
Remember when the Star Spangled Banner? Come on, it's over. Like, yeah.
Where is that? So it's like, so now it's like every week on Basketball Wives and Love and Hip Hop, there's 4 to 6 songs you've definitely heard before. And then another.